so today we're gonna keep our scope. We're gonna keep our scopes much smaller. So last time when we started, I wanted to actually do two of the gifts in 3 days. I had my learning. I saw how responsive everyone was when we just did one. So we're just gonna go work through one for the next 3 weeks, right? So we're gonna work through the gift of tongues. So we're just gonna do a few things. The first one is, let's understand what the New Testament says about the gift of tongues. So for this, what I would request is when we have references, be selfish, right? Don't be courteous and wait for somebody else to read. Just read the verse. Even if you've read 26 out of the 27 verses, it's fine, because we need to get through the material. So you'll be actually doing the class a service by reading through the verse as soon as you get it. Alright, so that's the first thing we're going to do. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to ask, what does it mean or communicate? And then, no pun intended with communicate. Okay, and then the third question is the most important question. Is the gift of tongues relevant/useful in the church today? And by in the church today, I mean especially us here in Peterborough, Westmount Bible Chapel. Is that fair? So I'm not going to address the question of whether tongues have ceased or not. I think that question will come, the answer to that question will come as we work through this. Right? I'm not attempting to answer that question. What we need to do is understand what the gift is, how did it operate, what did it mean, what does the Bible actually say about what its purpose is, right? And then if there's a certain purpose for it, is that purpose being fulfilled today in our church? Is that fair? Any questions before we begin? Anything you'd like to see over the next 3 weeks? No promises that I can answer those questions, but let me know as we go through. All right? So what we're going to do is does anyone know what a word cloud is? A word cloud.
Word
cloud.
It's from Google?
Yeah, sometimes Google has word clouds, websites have word clouds. It's just like different words and ideas that are related, they just get clumped together in different ways. Ideas that come more often become bigger in the word cloud. Ideas that are referenced less are lower. So we're going to do something like a word cloud. So we're just going to go through New Testament references and ask the question, how is tongue or tongues actually used through the New Testament? Let's get an idea, and then we can get into our next step of what is the relevant question with the gift of tongues? All right, let's start. The first one is Mark 7, verse 33, and then 35. Mark 7, 33, 35. Somebody else can get Mark 16 and verse 17.
And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, his tongue.
Okay, what is tongue? Over there. What is tongue over there? Tongue.
Organ of the mouth?
Yeah, an organ.
Oh, that's part of the cloud.
Right? Organ, body part. Alright, and then?
And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly.
Ah, so what is tongue related to now?
Speech.
Speech, alright. So it's an organ, but it's also related to... Oh, no, this is not a good color, right? Okay, I'll just use green. Green, I was told, is not a good color in this here. Alright. So, speech. This is actually pretty good. Speech. Alright, the next one. Who's got Mark 16, 17?
And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues.
All right, what is that? What's done with that?
Language.
Language. All right, the next one is Luke. Someone could take Luke 1:64. Someone else take, so who's got Luke 1:64? All right, Lisa, Luke 16:24. Who's got that? All right, Tyler's got that. Julie, get Acts chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4. Julie is back, right? All right, let's do Luke 1:64.
Okay, and at once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in the praise of God.
All right, so what is the tongue referred to over here?
It's the speech. It's the
organ.
Organ.
It's the organ that
speaks.
Allows us to speak.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So because the tongue was in some way bound, the person wasn't able to speak. And when the tongue was unbound, the person was able to speak. Does it mean they weren't able to taste? No, they could taste, right? So tongue wasn't actually necessarily also the organ. It has something to do with speech. It has something to do with speech, right? Because the tongue actually, like, no one actually went to tie their tongue up. Their tongue wasn't, right? That they weren't, there's something to do with their mouth, their body, that doesn't allow them to speak. And then when the tongue, which refers to what allows them to speak, was loosed, they were able to speak. So it's really the mechanism by which they're able to speak. Mechanism of speech. Is that fair so far? The tongue is the mechanism of speech. It's not necessarily just the organ. It's not necessarily that they aren't able to taste, for example. It's something to do with speech. Alright? Luke 16:24.
And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this plague."
Alright, what is tongue referring to over there?
The organ.
The organ, but he doesn't have a body. Right? Because that's a rich man, he died. And he's now gone to wherever? The place of torment. And now he wants water to cool his tongue, but he has no physical body.
How do we know he has no physical body?
Because if you read the story of rich man and Lazarus, there's no resurrection that's happened yet, right? The angels took them. The angels took Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. And then the rich man went to some place of torment.
Was the finger in the water then?
That's the question. That's exactly the question. Right? So, does he actually have a physical organ?
No.
He doesn't have a physical organ. So what does tongue refer to then?
Sin?
Thirst.
Okay. Tongue refers to tongue, but what is it? Is it an idiom or is it a real tongue?
Maybe going for speech then.
Well, he's already speaking. You can't ask for water on his tongue.
It's like so thirst.
Yes, it's to do with thirst, right? It's something to do with thirst. Thirst and relief. He has to cool his tongue. It's to say he's in a place of torment, he needs relief, and he needs water to cool his tongue.
Okay.
Right? He doesn't actually have a body in that parable. Is that fair?
Well, it seems like he's describing him as having.
Yeah.
He's talking about he looked up and saw.
Exactly. It says those things, but we, like, according to the thing, he doesn't actually have a body, right? According to the parable. Because it happens as soon as they die.
But when we're resurrected...
Yes, when we're resurrected, we'll have bodies. This is not talking about that. Right? This is not talking about resurrection. What is it talking about?
Well, so if it's not literal, then he's talking about some relief from suffering.
Look at verse 22. Look at 16, verse 22. Yes, you're correct in saying what you're saying. Look at verse 22. What does it say?
And now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died.
And verse 23?
He, in hate, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham, far away and Lazarus in his bosom.
All right, so resurrection hasn't happened yet, right?
No.
Okay, so, yes.
Sorry, question then.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is the eternal state for, or the intermediate state for believers?
The intermediate state, yeah.
Are we?
Bodiless souls.
Okay.
Awaiting the resurrection.
And unbelievers?
Bodiless souls.
But conscious?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, they're all conscious, right? They're all conscious. Right? So they're all conscious, but tongue, again, let's get back to the point. Tongue is not referring to necessarily a physical thing. It's something related to their existence, something related to, over here, something related to his thirst, and something to do with relief. Right? So some organ related to thirst. But it's not necessarily physical. But in the metaphor, it is a physical, like eyes, tongue, all of it. In the metaphor, in the story, it's anthropomorphized. It's like the arm of the Lord. The arm of the Lord isn't really an arm, but at the same time, it's referring to a physical word. So there's some kind of connection. We don't know what it is. It's okay. Leave it in tension. You don't have to answer the question, right? Let's just continue our survey of how tongue is used. Let's go to Acts chapter 2.
And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
All right, what's tongues referring to over here?
Fire.
Yeah, I know, but you could have just said there appeared fire. But what does it say?
Tongues as of fire.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's like a flame. Yeah, a flame is also known as like a tongue of fire. So when it says the flames have licked things, have you ever heard that reference? Right? So it's because of this thing that flames look like tongues.
Yeah.
Right? So again, it is the organ, but it's using the organ as a simile. Simile. It's a comparison. Right? Then, and it's a reference to some stuff in the Old Testament. Then Acts 2 verse 4.
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance.
So what is that referring to now?
Language.
Spoke with other tongues. Did they get new organs?
No.
Speech.
Language.
Yes, it's language. Okay? They spoke with other languages. Yes.
Are all of these references the same root in the Greek? Like,
yes.
Word, like in French, it's the same word, language and tongue are the same word.
Yep.
The same.
Yep. It is. You're right, it is. And then, let's have a few more references. Did anyone get 2 verse 11, by the way? Yeah, can someone read 2 verse 11?
Both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God.
So tongues refers to?
Languages.
Languages, okay. Then Acts, so now I have 3 more, sorry, yes, 3 more references. Is someone going to get Acts 10:46? Okay, Lisa. Acts 19 verse 6. Acts 19 verse 6, Tyler, okay. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 10. All right. Jen, and then Z, if you could get 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28.
28.
So 28. So we have a bunch in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians has the crux of our tongues passages. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians for a little bit today. So let's start with Acts 10 and verse 46.
For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered.
All right. So who is speaking in tongues?
For they were hearing them speaking in tongues. The apostles.
No,
the Gentiles.
Yeah, the context is Cornelius' household.
Yes, that's right.
Cornelius' household. Yeah. So Peter and anyone who came with him would have heard this. What is tongues referring to over here?
Languages.
Okay. But they hear them speaking in tongues, and what are they doing with these languages?
They're praising God.
Yeah, they're extolling God, they're praising God. Exactly. Good. Acts 19 verse 6.
And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying.
All right, what is that? What's happening there? Who's that?
It's disciples in Ephesus.
Yeah, disciples of John the Baptist in Ephesus, right? And what is speaking in tongues refer to?
Well, is this saying they're prophesying in tongues? Or is that two separate things?
Speaking in tongues, you can prophesy by mechanism of speaking in tongues.
Yeah, I was wondering in that passage that said that they were, what they were doing was prophesying, but by doing that in different languages. Or if it was two separate things. Or...
No. It's two separate things. It can be similar. We're going to get there in 1 Corinthians, but let's not add the complexity. So, disciples of John the Baptist. All right. Then the next one is 1 Corinthians 12:10.
To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues.
All right. So the end of the verse, now what are we talking about over here in 1 Corinthians 12?
Language, I think.
What's the context?
The distribution
of gifts. All right. So the end, it's talking about tongues. But what is kind of tongues actually mean?
Different types of language.
Yeah, different types of languages, right? So, different. Would it be types? The word can actually be. It's translated like families, nations.
Speaking in their own language.
It's not ethnos, it's genos. It's genos, but it's like, it can be a nation, it can be a family, it can be a people, it can be
like
a class.
Geno.
Like, yeah, a genus. It's like a genus. Right? So, different types, nations, families, whatever group. Let's say group. Okay, so different groups of languages, different types of languages. All right. Then we have 12:28. Sorry. There's another thing also happening. There's an interpretation of tongues as well, right? So there's interpretation. Of tongues. This word interpretation can be, it's the word hermeneutics. So it's to explain, to exposit. So, all right. 12:28, sorry.
And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues.
All right, so various kinds of tongues are also distributed and appointed. All right. The next one is verse 30.
Jerry?
Yes.
Jerry, is that language?
Yes. Again, sorry.
Different types of languages, right? Like that
Yeah. Previous
passage?
Yes. Yeah. This is languages. This is the interpretation of language. All right. Sorry. 12:30.
Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?
All right, so really, he doesn't ask, do all interpret? He's actually saying, not all speak with tongues, do they? Not all interpret, do they? So what's Paul saying over there?
He's saying it's, like, you know that not all have these gifts?
Correct. It's about distribution, right? So not all have distributed. Not all. Alright.
So that means different languages. Not everybody speaks different languages.
Not everybody speaks tongues by the Spirit. Like, the Spirit has not given them the ability to speak different languages. Just like that. Yes.
So yeah, this is saying it's like a Spirit-given gift, not like you would have someone who would learn French and learn, or maybe by birth they would have had that, and
correct. Correct. So the spontaneity from Acts tells you that it's not a learned language, but it is a language. It's not a learned language. They didn't know this previously. And not everybody has this ability. And it has to do with languages. Right? It doesn't have to do with speech, that all of a sudden people are able to speak. It's not thirst. It has to do with languages. And at the same time, there is also some that are able to interpret the language and some that can't interpret the language on demand. Right? However, in Acts, people were able to interpret the language. How were they able to interpret the language?
They were speaking in their own language.
Oh. Correct. Exactly. Right? So it's not that the listeners had a gift of interpretation. The listeners actually spoke that language. And so when the people in tongues spoke in their language, they're like, yeah, you're speaking my language. I understand what you're saying. So the Holy Spirit didn't give them a gift to understand that language.
So you're talking about in Acts?
In Acts chapter 2, sorry.
Okay, not 12.
In Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, sorry. Acts chapter 2, Pentecost. People were speaking in tongues. And other people who actually spoke those languages said, oh, they're speaking our language, right? So they weren't given some spontaneous gift of interpretation at that time. However, in Corinthians, Paul actually talks about a distribution of the ability to interpret. Alright? Next, let's go to chapter 13 and verse 1. Many of us have memorized it.
Tongues of men and of angels, who do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal.
All right, what is tongues referring to?
Sound.
Languages?
Languages, yeah. Even if I can speak with the languages, all the languages of humans, and I can speak with the languages of angels, but I don't have love, I'm like an instrument that's not been tuned or doesn't sound properly. Right? Mm-hmm. All right, so that's the language. Now let's look at verse 8.
Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease.
All right, so what is that referring to? That no one will ever speak?
No.
So what is that referring to when it says tongues?
I guess prophetical tongues, like when he said he wants to say something about the future.
Not prophetical tongues, no.
The ability to speak in language.
This spontaneous ability to speak will cease.
Yes.
Oh.
Right. So their tongues is not referring to just any speech. It's not referring to the mechanism of being able to speak. It's not speaking about any languages. It is speaking about this. The spontaneous ability to speak in a different languages through a gift that is given by the Holy Spirit. Is that fair?
In apostolic, how do you say that?
Apostolic?
Yeah, times.
Well, that's not what's mentioned over there. Okay. Apostolic times are not mentioned over there. Okay. Right? So we need to stay where the word allows us to stay. So it says, this thing might cease, that thing might cease. All I'm saying is, there's a word called tongues. That word tongues does not refer to speech. It doesn't refer to the fact that everybody will be speaking one language. It refers to this gift, right, of being able to do it. That means there's nothing saying that we won't be speaking multiple languages later. There's nothing saying that we won't be speaking. We'll be like, you know, telepathic, right? There's no need to talk. There'll be a protocol through our minds. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking specifically, that word tongues is speaking about the gift of tongues over here. Everyone okay so far? Alright, 14 verse 2.
For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit.
Alright, so the one speaking in tongues does not speak to, it's not men as in males, it's men as in humans. right? However, that's not completely true, because in Acts chapter 2, when they were speaking in tongues, who were they speaking to?
People.
They're speaking to people, humans, right? So what is Paul talking about over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2?
That's a good question.
Maybe prayer?
Okay.
Language?
Okay, it could be prayer, but this is audible.
Yes.
So, okay, let's look at verse 4.
The one who speaks in the tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church.
All right, so what is the contrast over here between tongues and prophesying, and what does one do, and what does the other one do?
The one who speaks is edifying himself, but not using his tongue. Words for the gift or for the filling up of the church.
So there's something specific happening here. You're starting to see it. Okay, I'm going to flip this. It's not as important for a survey, but I do want us to take note of this. Okay. So there's this tongues, and it is to God, not to men. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Then they're saying tongues. Edifies self and not church. Right? So what's happening over here is something's happening with tongues where it doesn't edify the congregation and they're not speaking to humans. Okay, let's look at verse 5.
Can I ask the question?
Yeah.
How does speaking in a tongue that you don't understand edify yourself?
Good question. We'll get through the portion. Okay. We'll get through the portion. Verse 5.
Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is one who prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may receive edifying.
All right. So there's some questions. I'm going to just erase this, if that's okay. Some good questions. We won't answer everything today. So what is your verse, the verse that Lisa just read, what is it saying?
Well, this thing that edifies self, he wants them all to do it. Yes, he does say that.
But it's only profitable to the church if someone is able to interpret.
Ah, all right. That's where this thing starts making sense. So it's spoken to God, edifies self, and then the third one is must be. No, it says the prophesying one is greater than the one speaking in tongues if there is no expositor or interpreter or explainer so that the church may receive edification. So tongues is less than prophesying if no interpreter. But I would also like to propose that this is the condition for this, and this is also the condition for this. So tongues is, he says tongues is inferior to prophecy if there's no interpreter. Why? Because there's no edification for the church. So if there was an interpreter, what would tongues do? It would edify the church as well, right? Let me just get through this. One second. It would edify the church as well. If tongues were interpreted, would it be spoken to humans as well?
Yes.
Yes. Right? So either there has to be an interpreter, or the audience should be able to understand what the person's saying. Then they will be edified, and they will understand what's being said. Does that make sense so far? All right, Dustin first. Dustin first.
You may have sort of answered. Is this language then?
This is language.
Okay, that's right.
So if I were to stand here and speak in Koine Greek, no one's going to understand what I've said.
No.
Right? However, if someone were to interpret it into English, then you would understand what I'm saying, and the content that I'm speaking would edify. Correct? All right, sir.
I was going to say, there's a scripture reference that says that if one speaks in tongues, let another interpret.
We're going to get
Paul talks about
we're gonna get
three things in order. Why is it saying here, unless he interprets? Is that allowed, that the person that speaks in tongues is also able to interpret? Because
yes.
That happens a lot.
Yes. That's the mechanism I just want us to kind of understand the passage we're going through. So that's a good question. If there's some way to like note it down, that's good. Because he's going to say the same thing later on, unless he interprets, which is the person speaking in tongues could also interpret what they're saying. And that happens. If you were to go to a bilingual church, by the way, sometimes people will speak in a language and they might say what they're saying in English so that both parties can understand as well. So I've seen that happen, not because they're Pentecostal, but literally because it's a bilingual church, right? So that does happen. Now, Jeremy, when in Acts chapter 2, when they spoke in tongues, did they understand what they were saying, even though they spoke in a different language?
No, I don't think so.
Yes, they were actually declaring the gospel, right, in Acts chapter 2.
The people speaking,
yes.
They understand it?
Yeah, they knew what they were saying, right?
Because they spoke in their own language.
No.
It doesn't say that they understood, it says the other people understood. The people hearing understood.
But you don't think, Acts, and even in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to get there in the Old Testament, by the way. In Acts chapter 2, they said, oh, you're drunk, and then Peter said, no, we're not drunk. What were they doing when they were saying it?
They were speaking.
Well, they may have understood. I don't think it says that they did, but do we have to assume that the person speaking...
That the apostles didn't know what they were saying on the day of Pentecost?
Because wouldn't they say, no, we're not drunk, in that, let's say they were speaking Chinese, to the Chinese audience, in Chinese, no, I'm not drunk?
No, yeah, so that's the important question.
So is that a different thing than what's happening in 1 Corinthians, where they have to have an interpreter because they don't know what they're saying?
The people don't know what they're saying.
But if we go down to verse 13 in 1 Corinthians 14, the person who's speaking needs to pray that they would understand so that they can tell.
That's not right. I will
get there. All right.
I'm going to go through every passage, so we're going to get there.
So you think...
That's not translated correctly. That's right.
Okay. So these examples of people speaking in tongues, you think they all would have known what they were saying they're speaking in
tongues? It appears to be so, yes.
Okay.
It appears to be so. Let's get there. Okay, verse 6.
Couldn't you say this is the same as like the question of when David was prophesying, did he know what he was saying necessarily? And you could say, well, he knew he was prophesying, but he didn't actually necessarily understand the
prophecy. He did, because Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, I think.
No, like when you're saying David and Moses and all these people were prophesying, they understood the full mystery of God at that point.
What you're saying full is different from understanding, right?
Well, they knew that they were prophesying, just like...
Look, write this down and read it at home. Read Acts chapter 2, verse 30 later on. Acts chapter 2, verse 30 and 31 has an answer to your question for later on, all right? Let's get back to 1 Corinthians. So 1 Corinthians chapter... 14 and verse 6.
Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching?
All right. So if he comes to me in tongues alone, there's no benefit unless... What?
There's substance there?
There's substance there, exactly. So tongues on its own does not edify. But what is being communicated in the tongue could edify if it's interpreted.
So they're talking of language again. Right?
Language, but he's saying he could also prophesy, he could teach without tongues. The tongues itself is not what is actually edifying them. What is the thing edifying them?
The content of the tongues.
The content is actually what is edifying, all right?
Sorry, just a quick question.
Yes.
When it talks about prophecy, what is he doing there if it's not for saying or telling the future?
Another session.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, prophecy is a third.
Okay.
It's a much more complex one. It's not just telling the future.
Oh.
Prophecy has many things to it. Not just telling the future, not just declaring the word of God. There are more aspects to it. Because it's more complex, we've put it for a different session. All right, they're all kind of intertwined, because when I attended healings also, Megan asked a question about 1 Corinthians, but we're not done tongues yet, we've not done prophecy yet, so we'll have to attack this in layers.
Yeah.
All right, verse 9.
So also you, unless you utter by the tongue speech that is clear, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air.
Good. So what he's saying is, if you speak, if you're speaking in tongues and it's not clear, right? And the word is not clear, it's the word logos. If you don't give a clear word by tongues, how will the word be spoken, be understood? Okay, so there has to be some kind of clarity with tongues.
Is that clarity in content or clarity in like slurring or?
It has to be clarity in content and, well, how can you interpret it if the person doesn't understand what the other one's saying?
So it's both.
Well, yeah, I mean, one has to do with your organ action, right? So if I don't enunciate what I'm saying, then I don't think that's his point. I don't think he's saying you must enunciate.
He's saying like intelligible, so it has to be tied to
content. It has to be done. It has to be content. I don't think he's talking about pronouncing the words.
But even like grammar, like you have to be operating in the realm of intelligibility, otherwise.
I think it's more to do with content, because the learners, those that have the gift of tongues, don't have to learn syntax and morphology. They don't have to learn new sounds. They're just speaking those sounds, very much like the people at Babel were able to speak new languages without being taught grammar, morphology, all of those things. Right? So it has more to do with the clarity of content than the clarity of speech.
So it ties into the truth of the word though, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because what is the edifying piece over here is not that they're speaking a different language. What's edifying is the content of what's happening. But unless they're clear, people aren't going to be able to understand. And the clarity is not just in that, but we're going to see later, multiple people are trying to speak in tongues at the same time too. So what's happening is there's like a cacophony?
Yeah.
Cacophony? Right? In the church at that time. So he has to tell them to do things orderly. There are people trying to prophesy at the same time, there are people trying to speak in tongues at the same time. And he's like, there's no clarity when you all try to do things without order. Right? So the message has to be clear, but there has to be order in the church for clarity. So it's less to do with the pronunciation and enunciation of the letters.
Just quick, you might have said this already. The word tongue in Greek, is that language?
Glossa. No, it hasn't. It's the same word.
Really, eh?
Yeah, it's the same word.
Tongue. That's interesting.
Right? But also, if you say, you know, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Is he actually asking people to give them his ears, right? But ears is synonymous with
ears.
Right? So, organs have a lot to do with kind of the function of the organ itself, right? Awake your man's heart is through his belly. I'm pretty sure that's not anatomically correct, right? So it has to do with the organs, but something more, right? The function that it's related to. All right, and then this is verse 13. This is the verse that Jeremy was talking about.
Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret.
All right, so. For this reason, the one speaking a tongue must pray ahead in order, and it just says, to exposit or to interpret. So there are two things that are happening. If you look at the system, yes, one person can interpret what they're saying, but then they already understand what they're saying. Over here, or they have this ability to do both at the same time. But over here, what you're seeing is going to happen is this issue of multiple people speaking in tongues, but there's nobody to actually interpret over there. And so he's saying, even though you have something to say, Paul's going to say, even though you have something to say, if there's no interpreter, sit down. Be quiet, that's fine. Because the spirit of the one, even the prophet, the spirit of the prophet, if you have a prophecy, do it in order. Maybe two or three. Right? Don't say that the spirit actually made me do it. He says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So what's happening is there's this chaos happening in the meeting. Everyone's standing up and saying things, and then they're blaming the spirit to say, well, the spirit made me do it, so I told him. He's like, no, guys, calm down. You are gifted. You have a prophecy. You have a tongue. Do it in order. What he's saying over here is, if one is going to speak in a tongue, they have to, it's actually, there's the preposition pros. Pros is F-O-R-E, four, or our head. So he says, pray ahead. If you have a tongue, if you're going to come to church and you have something to say and you're going to speak in tongues because you know the Spirit has given you the gift of tongues, pray ahead of time. Pray ahead of time that there would be an interpreter in the church. Not that they would be able to interpret, but to interpret. To interpret can refer to somebody else's one. Right? So pray ahead of time to interpret, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to interpret the passage themselves. Does that make sense? So what's happening is the system. The system is broken. The individuals are not functioning within the system of, guys, there needs to be order in your church. Right? There needs to be order in what you're doing. Yes, the Spirit has gifted you, but you're not doing things in an orderly fashion.
So there's, you're saying, this verse is saying that there's people in the church that are actually praying, but in their own language, so then nobody understands.
No, they're praying in a different language. Yeah. They know that when they stand up to pray, or they say something, that the Spirit will make them say it in a different language.
Oh.
But while, before they come, pray ahead, that there will be someone also in the congregation that has the ability to interpret what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So that there will be edification. So what does that mean? What that means is, they have to know ahead of time, before they even speak, whether there's someone that can interpret their language. Because what does he say? Don't speak in a tongue unless there's an interpreter.
So if Guy Kevin's speaking in French and nobody can understand French,
so I have to know ahead of time, even before the meeting starts, is there like a this language interpreter around? Mm-hmm. Others, how else are you going to, how's the system going to work? Yeah. Don't speak in a tongue unless there's an interpreter. Well, how am I going to know if there's an interpreter unless I start speaking, if this is all spontaneous? So it's not spontaneous.
Oh.
Do you understand what's going on? It's not spontaneous. This person knows they have the gift of tongues. They're praying ahead of time, Lord, bring someone who will be able to interpret this. And when they come to the meeting, if there's someone who can interpret, then they can stand up. If there's someone who can't interpret, then don't stand up. This is not some mystical, like, I'm going to just start saying something, and then there's going to be a decoder somewhere in the room, and let's cross our fingers that they're all right. Right? Otherwise, how can you follow what Paul's saying? Does that make sense? You can't follow what Paul's saying unless there's some order to it, and there's some notice ahead. Right? What Chris Crinkle? Is that what it's for? Like, Secret Santa? Right? I don't know what the Holy Spirit's going to do today. Right? That's not exactly what's going on over here. And we know also in the church, some have the gift, some don't have the gift. Yes?
What does the next verse mean then when Paul says, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful?
Yeah, unfruitful, if you read the word karpos, and you see how Paul uses it in 1 Corinthians and elsewhere, it is the fruitfulness for others. So he talks about collection in order to bring fruit for others. In Romans 1, he talks about that I may bear fruit among you.
So he understands, but it's not helping him.
It's not edifying.
Okay.
It ties back into this. Good? That's verse 14, so you got that also. So now the next one is 18. Right? He says, I speak in tongues more than all of y'all. What does that mean? What that means is that...
Different languages?
Exactly. I speak in more languages than you guys do. So some people can speak in some languages when they speak in tongues, not because they have been taught, because the Holy Spirit has given them the ability to speak in that specific language. But he's able to speak in more kinds of languages than these people can. So you see, it's not some weird, like, I wonder what language the Lord's going to bring to me today. Right? That's not what it is. God's given them some ability to speak in a language, and they can't stand up unless there's someone in the congregation that understands that language, or God has given them the understanding of that language in order to translate it.
But only the Holy Spirit would know that, wouldn't he? If there was somebody else different in the audience that doesn't speak that language.
Well, we're all talking before the meeting starts, right?
Yeah, but we're all talking English.
Yeah, I understand. But someone knows they have the gift of understanding so-and-so language, just as Paul knows he can speak multiple languages. Mm-hmm. The person who speaks Hindi,
yeah,
knows they speak Hindi.
Yeah.
They can always ask, is there anyone here that has the gift of interpreting Hindi? Is there anyone here that has the gift of interpreting French? Or whatever those languages that were then. There was no French then. Gaulish, right?
Oh, yeah, don't take that out, please. So the gift of interpretation is not just somebody who happens to know the language. That's also
a it can be. That's a useful thing. Like Acts chapter 2, there were some people who knew the language. But this is seems to be a spirit-given ability as well. A spirit-given ability as well. Because there's one thing to know a language, there's another thing to know a language in order to edify someone else. So anyone who's, like, you know, even if you're bilingual, it's one thing to know colloquial languages. It's another thing to be able to speak languages in a way where others can be edified with scripture. Yes?
Is this whole thing then wrapped in the idea that this was to encourage and push the people out into
We haven't gotten there yet. That's my last question that will be our hook for next week. What's the point of all this?
You know why? It's because I think we're thinking of a church today that everybody speaks English, right, even though they speak different languages.
Yes.
And so, but back then, I guess the people, there were a lot of people that did speak a Hebrew language.
It's not just back then, even now. Mm-hmm. I went to a bilingual church. I went to a church that even didn't speak English. There are churches here in Toronto that don't speak English.
Yeah. Yep. That's why we're not. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. All right. I just want to get through this. Let's do one or two passages, then let's ask the next question. Verse 19.
Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue.
Exactly. So what is he saying? I would rather have words that others understand that edify them than multiple words in something that doesn't edify the church. Why? Because the gathering of the church is for what?
The building up of the church.
The gathering of the church is for the building up of the church. Right? It is not for us to prop ourselves up. And it's not for us to edify ourselves. It is for the other person. In all things we do, by the way. Not just about tongues. The gathering of the church is for the other. Alright, next. Verse 22.
Thus tongues are assigned not for believers, but for the unbelievers, while prophecy is assigned not for unbelievers, but for believers.
Tongues is assigned to unbelievers. This is important. All right, so tongues meaning what? Speaking in other languages is a sign? Being able to speak is a sign? What is the tongues referring to over here?
Speaking in other languages.
Speaking in other languages as a gift of the Holy Spirit. Speaking in other languages as a gift of the Holy Spirit. Alright? Fair? Verse 23.
Therefore, if the whole church assembles together and all speak in tongues, and ungifted men or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are mad? Yeah.
Wait, but I thought tongues were assigned for unbelievers. But now when unbelievers listen to tongues, what are they going to say?
Well, that sounds to me like everyone's speaking a different language, so they're going to walk in there and be like, what in the world is going on?
Exactly. So it's not tongues that are going to make unbelievers think that everyone's crazy. What is it? Tongues? It's not just the language. Yeah, it's a language, but what is that speaking to? What's
content?
That speaking about? Sorry?
The content?
Clarity.
No. Well, clarity in terms of order. It's actually order.
Yeah.
It's actually order. Unorderliness and chaos does not lead to fulfilling what the purpose of tongues is. Tongues has a purpose which is assigned to unbelievers. But if the whole church starts to speak in tongues, it's not going to fulfill its purpose. And there are two kinds of people coming in. Who are the two kinds of people coming in? This is important.
Unbelievers and believers.
No?
Oh.
Unlearned.
Yeah, this is the un. It's actually the idiotes. Right? And the apistis, which is unbelievers, unfaithful.
What do you mean by that?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that's a good word.
I think it means what you think it means.
So this means people who don't know anything fresh, just fresh, don't know stuff.
want stuff but don't want to believe it.
Okay.
Right?
Idiotes.
Idiotes, yeah. It's Italian, but you should know Italian. It was Roman, so it's fine. Then verse 26. So you know that tongues is not necessarily for the whole church, right? He said it in multiple fronts. So he said whole church shouldn't be speaking in tongues before he says to some. Not all speak in tongues, do they? Right? So now, verse 26.
So when is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification.
All right. All things for?
Edification.
It's for building the other one.
Yeah.
Not for propping self up. Alright, verse 27 and 28.
If anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be by two or at least the most three, and in each in turn, and one must interpret.
Alright. So you see what's happening. If there are people speaking in tongues, he says, guys, limit yourself to two or three for the entire session, and not all at once. One at a time. And you must also have what?
Interpreter.
An interpreter. So this is not some spontaneous thing, right? Someone knows that they're going to speak. Everyone get in line. Right? Order. So you know that the Holy Spirit's giving you something to say with the tongues. Preferably, you would have prayed ahead. And if God has answered your prayer by bringing an interpreter, you know that ahead of time. Right? So brother number one speak, or whoever speak. Interpreter, interpret. Number two, speak. Whoever the interpreter for that is, interpret. Number three, speak. Whoever the interpreter for that is, interpret. Maybe one person can do all three. Who knows? Right?
Yeah.
But this is not a mega church. Remember, these churches are very, very small. They're very, very small. 30 people, 40 people, maybe 50 people. We don't know. But these aren't like hundreds of people. All right? Tyler, you got a question?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, though, it is saying that, like, if one prophesies, like, there is assuming a majority language here. Like, there is
yes.
an assumption that the congregation gathering, there's a...
Lingua franca.
Right.
Yeah, they have a common language by which they're actually communicating. So this out-of-ordinary communication is actually not for the believers in the congregation. It is for the unbeliever. Not the idiotes, by the way. It is for this person, the unfaithful person. It is for the unfaithful. When they observe it, it is a sign to them about something. All right? Verse 39.
So my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues.
All right. Don't forbid speaking in tongues. Do you hear that? Because tongues can do two things. What are they doing? What are the two things that tongues can do?
Edifying the church.
Edifying the church, if interpreted, and if done in orderly.
If done orderly, and speaking to unbelievers.
It is a sign to unbelievers. It is a sign to unbelievers. Not that the message is a message to unbelievers, but the very act of speaking in tongues is a sign to unbelievers. And this is why it comes under our sign gifts study. Because we have to understand what this sign is about. And remember the no overtaking sign that we had seen earlier?
Mm-hmm.
Unless the sign is to you, and you actually understand, the interpretation was given to you for that sign, you're not going to understand what that sign is about. You know what I mean? So now this should actually raise another question. How do these unbelievers know what the interpretation of the sign is? How is it when they see the sign, they automatically know what the message is? If you see that road sign, the no overtaking sign over here, you're not going to know what it means. Why? Because it's a sign from India. It's a road sign from India. I got the sign. Okay. It's a road sign from India, right? You actually, even over here, road signs, you actually have to go through the book, you have to do your test, you have to pass your test, then only can you actually sit behind a wheel legally, right? Many others can sit behind a wheel, but legally, you have to get through your road test, tell them that you understand what the signs mean, then you can operate a vehicle as a student.
So how do these unbelievers know what the sign means? Because if they don't know what the sign means, then it's going to go
would that
right over
the interpreter?
Sorry?
Would they understand that through the interpreter?
No, the interpreter is just giving the content.
Okay.
But the very act of speaking in a different language, when they already have a normal language, that then requires an interpreter in order to give the oracles of God, is the sign. Does that make sense? They have a language with which they can communicate with each other. The unbeliever can observe it. However, now someone speaks in another language, in a second language, which then needs to be interpreted to the people in order to edify them. And that act is the sign. And the unbeliever is supposed to understand what that sign means. And we as believers ourselves don't understand this. So this person has to know more about the sign than the bunch of us in this room. Is that fair?
Could this be referring to unbelieving Jewish people who would have understood what they had?
Ding, 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 ding. All right, good. All right, let's go to the same chapter and verse 21 and 22. Let's read it again.
14?
Yes.
21 and 22?
Yes.
In the law, it is written, by people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners will I speak to this people, and even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Thus tongues are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Well, prophecy is a sign not for unbelievers, but for believers.
Remember.
It is written.
There are two types of people. They're the, I don't know what's going on. It's not a sign to them. Who is it a sign to? I know what this is all about, and I don't believe. Right? It's to these people. I know what this is about, but I don't believe. All right? We're going to go through the Old Testament to find out what the Old Testament is actually talking about over here. What's going on over here in Isaiah? What's going on in Deuteronomy? And we're going to find out more. Because all of a sudden, and even in Acts chapter 2, when they're speaking in tongues, nobody goes to explain what tongues is. They just say that they were speaking in tongues. And the reader is supposed to understand what that means. Right? There's no explanation to what tongues is and what its purpose is. The reader is supposed to understand. So maybe the books preceding all of Acts will explain to us what tongues is, what the sign is, and what it's supposed to communicate. Just to finish our survey, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 11 talks about tongue as a what? Philippians 2 verse 11.
Confession.
Sorry.
And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God.
What is tongue? Some mechanism of speech or communication.
Oh.
Right? Every tongue. Does every creature have an actual tongue? Not the way we do, but they can communicate. And they're going to communicate that Jesus Christ is Lord. Alright? James 1:26. And if someone could take James 3 verse 5, and a third person could take James, well, 3 verse 5. So who's taking 1:26? Okay, Sinana, and who's taking 3 verse 5 and 6? James, okay.
James 1:26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless.
All right, what is tongue? Very similar.
It's like
your speech.
Yes, your mechanism of speech, your machinery for speech. All right? 3 and verse 5 and 6.
So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold how great a forest is set aflame with such a small fire.
Alright, so tongue is the organ, but it is short, it is a hyperlink, or it is short for the entire mechanism of speech. So this small thing, if it cannot be tamed, your entire speech can do much damage. Right? Alright, 1 Peter 3 verse 10.
For whoever desires a life, a love life. Sorry.
A long life.
No, mine says love.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it says love. For whoever desires to. Oh, there we go. Okay.
To love life.
A preposition can make such a big difference. For whoever desires to love life and sees good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit.
What is tongue versus lips?
Speech.
The same as James, the verse above it, or the verse we just went through?
Yeah, the content. The content of your message. Right? The content of your message. Now, 1 John 3:18. Does anyone know this from memory? Let us not love...
Oh, beloved?
No. Yeah, let us not love in word.
But in deed. But in truth.
No, no, no. 1 Corinthians 3:18. 1 John 3:18. My apologies. 1 John 3:18. I'm looking at John and saying Corinthians.
Little children?
Yeah.
Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth.
Yeah, so that word talk is actually tongue. It's actually the same word tongue. It's translated tongue. Let's not love in word or tongue, but in deed. So what does it mean? Stop. If you're going to make something move, don't make your tongue move. Make your hands and your legs move. Right? To help someone else. Right? That's the way you love. Right? Then Revelation. So tongue refers to, again, speech. Revelation 5:9. This one you should be able to get. Revelation 5:9. Anyone? Can no one comment?
And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation.
Okay, the word language is the word tongue. So it's interpreted there for us. Revelation 7, verse 9.
After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands.
So the word languages actually is the word tongue in Greek. Right? So they've interpreted it again. Revelation 10:11.
And I was told, you must again prophesy about many peoples and nations and languages and kings.
All right. Languages is the word tongues. Revelation 11, verse 9.
And those from the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days and will not permit their dead bodies to be laid in the tomb.
So, sorry, that was verse 9, right? So there's languages, that's tongues, again. 13, verse 7.
Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation.
All right, again. You see that Revelation has this theme going over and over and over and over again. Again, it's the word language. 14, verse 16. I promise you we're getting to the end.
And he who sat on the cloud flung his sickle over the earth, that's not right.
14 verse 16? Yeah.
Okay. And verse the earth six. Was reaped.
Oh, verse 6, sorry.
Okay. Oh, 6. And I saw another angel flying in mid heaven.
No, it's not. It's 16, sorry.
No, 6 is correct.
Yes. Six. And I saw another angel flying in mid heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people.
All right, yes. So that's tongue. Your translation says tongue. Good. 16 verse 10.
The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in anguish.
All right, what is that? So what is tongue over there? It is the organ, but it's part of a bigger phrase. Right? It's a bit part of a bigger idiom, which is gnawing your tongue.
Breath?
No, gnawing your tongue is anguish. It's anguish. Gnawing the tongue is an idiom. So it is an organ, but it's not talking about languages over there. And the last one is Revelation 17 and verse 15.
And he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and crowds and nations and tongues.
Yeah, so the waters are what?
Peoples, multitudes, nations, and
lands. Yeah, so the waters represents the peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Right? And so the tongues are the languages again over here. So what I also wanted to demonstrate today to help you is, in our previous frameworks classes, we talked about studying a word or word studying, how do you actually understand what a word means. You do something like this. You open up probably a concordance. It'll give you every reference of a certain word. You put it together and start asking, in this context, what does this word mean? In this context, what does this word mean? In this, it's hard work. But what you're going to do is you're going to start getting an idea of how that word is used in the Bible. And we only did the New Testament today. Right? Ideally, you'd look for the equivalent Old Testament words as well. And you'd do a study across that. And that's a good way to actually study something in the Bible. Say, okay, how are these connected? How does it actually talk about something? So when I say waters, right? He separated the waters from waters. He did this with the waters. Well, waters does mean waters. But waters can mean something else. And then as you go through the Bible, you're going to see what waters mean. Or if you say stars, you're going to see what stars mean, right? So what you do is you look at the references, and then you start categorizing them, and you start grouping them. And then you're going to start asking the question, okay, now when I read this verse, which of these meanings is the author actually using over here? And if the author is using this meaning, how do I know they're not using these other meanings? Let me go back and see if there are connections. So while it may take more time, it'll actually be very, very fruitful for your research. Right? It's much more fruitful than, hey, let me open a dictionary immediately and in 2 seconds find what meaning is. Because what do? They don't have any other magical place to go other than doing something very similar. Right? In order to find the meaning. Alright, so next week what we're going to do is we're going to go now ask the second question. Is what is the purpose of tongues? How does this function with the unbeliever? Right? And what did the Old Testament talk about for it to be understood in the New Testament the way it was understood? And then in the third week, it may take us 2 weeks, we'll walk slowly through it, and then the third week we'll also try to answer the question now. With this purpose, is this purpose being fulfilled with tongues in a church at West Mount in 2024 now? Sorry. Right? Those are our important questions. Then, has tongues ceased or not ceased? That's I think, a tertiary question. All right. If there are any questions, we will talk after church because it's already happening. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your kindness to us. Your mercies are new to us every morning. We're here today, Lord, with all kinds of burdens, whether it be physical ailments, whether it be stressors, financial, familial, whether it be, Lord, many other things that are out of our control or even in our control. Failures that we've had, places, Lord, that we should have been faithful to you, but we're not. Lord, we come to you this morning, and we are grateful that this first day of the week, you have allowed us to have reset, Lord, to be able to reorient ourselves to your providence, to your forgiveness through Jesus Christ, and through your marvelous works. And Lord, as we speak with one another, as we sing songs, as your word is opened, Lord, as we participate at the table, as our brother Jason preaches your word, please reset our minds and our hearts, Lord, to understand where you are, what your program is, and how we fit under that. And Lord, the things that we worry about, Lord, let us cast it into your hands. The places we have failed, Lord, let us receive forgiveness from you and resolve to live by your strength, to please you and to honor you. We're grateful for your word. We're grateful for this opportunity for brothers and sisters to study together and to dwell into it, to delve into your word, Lord. Open our eyes. Let us behold the wondrous things from your law. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus Christ, Lord's precious name. Amen.